Hi, you're listening to A Side Quest, a video games podcast for people too busy to play video games. I'm Dave. It's Davuary Rupert. With me is
Jan Hoy
and Zach Meyer.
Hey guys, thanks for coming on the show. I drew the short straw on hosting this week, so or this month, I guess, because we're kind of on a 3-weekish once a monthy rotation, but that's fine. This is just where we're at in beautiful COVID times. So, hey, what's everyone doing? I guess we should talk about games. This is just going to be a standard D game thing, unless somebody has a surprise topic. I don't know.
Man, I don't have like a surprise topic, but I do have this like feeling and like kind of like pre-vising our list for this evening. I get this like kind of impression that we're kind of like playing to our comforts. Like, you know what I mean? Like last year was just like a lot of like throwing yourself at a bunch of things. And we're starting off the year with what seems like kind of like a return to what we know.
So, okay. It's wild you mentioned this because literally before this recording, I was reading about the COVID wall, you know, like people just hitting the wall, and a lot of people hit it like 3 weeks ago. And it's basically just like, I'm done with this whole thing. Yep. Like I'm done, like whatever that is. And I mean, you know, hopefully you're not just like, I'm just going to go out to a bar and watch the Super Bowl or whatever, but maybe that's you. But I think like a lot of people are just like, okay, I'm done pretending this is fun or, you know, anything. This just is bad right now. And I've wondered if that's factoring into it. Like I have no motivation really to pick up a game. I didn't really play much at all. Only at like the behest of my children. Played it like, I guess I can go on mine, but, like played a little Overwatch and Call of Duty at night, you know, just cause that's like my blow off steam, like, end of the day kind of wind down, you know, and then played some Minecraft on the Minecraft realm that we made with my kids, but it was mostly just to like go get something dad. And Minecraft is fun, man. I still get like heart palpitations when I'm like deep in a mine and I hear like a groan or something like that. Or, you know, I think last time I played, I like fell down like 5 floors, you know, and I was just like in a mine somewhere. And I just was like, torches and stuff. And I just was like, oh no. And there's a spider hissing and bats. And anyway, it was just like, childishness. It's a pretty cool game. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm like playing these games I've like played before, right? But yeah, I'm not really like venturing out. And a lot of my time was spent on I'm trying to plan out the year. Like I'm interested in 2021 here, you know, like what games are coming out, what should I do? And, you know, my plans aren't, you know, they're not big, you know, it's like Mass Effect, like I don't know, you know, like yeah. I don't have a big list of gotta play this, you know.
Yeah, that feels right. that feels pretty close. I also just like reached this like turn or whatever, and I'm getting a lot out of playing or finishing games right now, like just like going back to stuff that I'd started, or like Jan and I have been revisiting Diablo 3 on Switch, and there is something like just kind of, I don't know, like I'm pretty happy with it. And like playing COD with y'all is fun, and like just kind of like little things feel good, like there's like little rewards in this like familiarity. But yeah, I also don't really feel like I have like a clear picture for like the thing, like the games that I want to, the new titles that I'd be normally like kind of like ready to chew through. Now I feel like, nah, I've got this, like I've got a couple of games I want to wrap up, and then I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. I wonder if some of it has to do with, you know, of just being in the pandemic, right? We're not getting like an E3 or all the PAX stuff, right?
Or like, the hype cycle.
Shoot, mm-hmm. Overwatch 2, notably. Like, oh, yeah. I think in a week or next week or something, BlizzCon's happening. But Overwatch 2 is not even coming out this year. And
oh, really?
They released it like a year and a half ago. Yeah, dude. It's like pushed back to 2022. And, you know, maybe we'll get something, you know, in Overwatch. But, like, man, imagine being in a pandemic and you're like, this game, which is kind of rough from a balance perspective sometimes, you know, is just not going to change. Like, ooh, that's tough, dude. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But, man, it was I don't know. That was tough news, you know, but like nothing's coming out, you know, because of COVID and all that. So.
Yeah, like the big game was Cyberpunk, and that was a broken mess coming out of the gate. So nobody's even talking about that as a light from my feed. So
yeah,
I haven't even touched it yet. So
oh, you haven't like messed with it any?
Well, I played like the first 3 hours, and then the holidays hit. Like,
yeah.
And then I just totally forgot about it. The holidays hit and the winter swoon of like, I just want to sit here and not worry about that game. Yeah. Because it was such a dark and brooding game. It was like a dystopian future. Everybody's a jerk. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be in this world. I kind of live in this world.
I play games to escape from
reality. Exactly. And I'm just, and then you're just running around the streets and everybody's like, let's go hit up these guys. And then you got to take people out and I'm just like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. I just feel like I'm just doing something I'm supposed to. So, anyway, I just put that game aside. But besides that, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like Dave is like, you're like, what is a game that would get me excited? So
guys, still looking. I've got this like really, I don't know, like I'm just gonna say this one thing real quick and then like,
oh, this is gonna be a fire recommendation here. This is gonna be divine inspiration.
I've been thinking about this a lot actually, and so you mentioned Minecraft and I also have it on my list. So I have like a group of there's another small pocket of people. It's basically like me and my brother and a couple of his friends. And we've been searching high and low for a multiplayer game like that wasn't shooting, because we're like, we just want to be unstressed. And we also erected a realm about 3 weeks ago. And literally, it was the most peaceful 3 hours. We're like building our fortress, creating fields, and figuring out how to farm animals. And it's just like, yeah, you like got to like chase mobs, you know, run away from mobs and all that stuff. But like, it was just something about the constructive nature of the game is so deeply satisfying and peaceful. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things out of all the games I played last year. And I still think about this constantly is Ghost of Tsushima, because there's this thing that happens, you know, like when you play like Far Cry or you know, like a Ubisoft game or like Batman, you like or even the last Spider-Man, you beat up the thugs that are holding the little fortress of trash they've made, and then you leave, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Good job, superhero. You beat up the people living in the trash, but nobody comes back and cleans it up. But in Ghost of Tsushima, after you like retake a farm, people come back. They make you watch the settlement being rebuilt, like people starting over and fixing things.
Whoa.
And that to me is like, I know it's like this like little tiny thing in the game. It's like 30 seconds that you have to watch people like return to the village that they've been chased out of. But there's something so nourishing about that as a game player. Like, yeah, I've got the power fantasy of being this badass with a sword sneaking around, you know, bopping people. But the like reward to me, the like emotional reward of seeing the world come back to life after it's being hurt is like, I don't think we get enough of that, enough like positive feedback. Like the thing you did made other people's lives better, you know, even though they're video game lives or whatever.
No, that's yeah. I Minecraft, you know, what's cool is like, I think it was a decision they made early on, but that sound effect that happens when the moon, you know, the sun sets and there's like a meaner or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's like an accomplishment sound in my brain. You know, it's just like, I made it through a day. Now it's time to go to that bed, boy, and just take a schnoozo. don't get mobbed. Just take a schnooze, you know? And I feel like, yeah, not enough games have that breathing, if that makes sense. The pacing, I guess, of that. I wish there was a little more like interactivity with villager people. You know, I guess you can trade with them, but that's pretty lame. Pretty, I don't know.
Yeah. Limiting.
Limiting.
I'm over here thinking about Animal Crossing. I'm like, yeah, that game's kind of like that for me.
Yeah. My kids started playing Animal Crossing and they seem to love it. So,
yeah. It's probably the least chaotic game I own that I currently have on my playlist.
That said, my son was playing it, and so was his friend, and then they're like, all these hackers keep coming to our island. I was like, did you open the door to everybody? And they're like, no. It's like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you absolutely did. Stop it. Local play only. Come on.
Next time.
Teach them. Everyone on the internet is bad. Yeah. Everyone on the internet's bad. Don't do that. But they don't read. They just, whatever, brute force menus, you know, to make stuff happen. So, whatever. I was a kid once, but my games didn't connect me to the World Wide Web.
No, not at all.
We were lucky to have that, like, I don't know, kind of like, there was something about like that, like closer. I mean, even when you had games that were LAN games, you had to be somewhere. Like, you had to be in the room with your people. Like, getting online to play a game was difficult.
Yeah.
And now
Age
it's
of
like,
Innocence.
In yeah. Some you've got the, kind of this, like, I don't know, monk-like cloister of gaming ritual from back then that just does not, I feel like, is less. Like, you have to create that space now if you want it.
No, I remember the first time I was trying to play like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter online, you know, and it was like, okay, you call me after 9 o'clock because that's when my parents go to bed, and I'll use my spare line to hook into the modem and pick up your call directly. You know, like it was this like ceremony and you had to have plans for it, you know. And then if it goes apart, you had to figure out how to like whatever, not just dial somebody's computer, you know. So it was it was a ceremony. Or you lugged your whole computer to somebody's house. That was silly too, but that happened.
So we did it.
You did it. But Warcraft, that was another one I did. So original Warcraft or Warcraft 2, I think, had the online, but
yeah. Back when you could just have one copy of a game and everybody could play on a LAN.
Ooh. Those were the days.
I know. Really showing our age here.
Yeah. Just a little.
Now people are running around with games on their phones and switches. So like, get off my digital lawn.
Yeah. Their watches play Quake now. And it's like, oh, well, okay. So anyway, it's weird times. I will say, though, I've been playing Luigi's Mansion with my kids, Luigi's Mansion 3. Maybe I mentioned it last time. I don't know. We call it Suka Suka. And it's good. And we're like, I think floor 10 or 11, you know, so we're getting close to
what do you think about that? The dashboard, the Nintendo VR.
Nintendo VR. It's overkill. It's kind of funny how it's like a Virtual Boy or whatever. All those little throwbacks are really funny. It's overkill too. Like, some of the laws of the universe don't really hold up. Like, oh, you can teleport to this guy's lab at any time, but you have to like pull a TV out of your pocket or whatever and go through it. Anyway. And then you go in there and it's just a bunch of like, it's like a, almost like a Day of the Tentacle style menu, you know. It's just like every gadget is like a menu piece, you know. I wish it was a little faster sometimes in that regard, but it's cool, and we're playing co-op, and so it's going a little bit slower, but it's really, well, like, talk about chill games. Like, this is just a chill game, like just walk and vacuum, that's it. So
I stopped playing probably around the 7th, maybe 8th floor, but I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over, and I think that's what did it for me. I was like, I'm tired. I just feel like I'm just going each room and vacuuming up stuff.
It's really repetitive, and your character doesn't have a run or a move fast, you know, so that's a bummer too. Because if that was okay, those like loop backs and double backs wouldn't feel as bad, you know, or obnoxious. But yeah, it's really repetitive in that regard, because like all the mechanics are the same, you know, like you just vacuum things up and then you slam them basically. Mm-hmm. But then like new-ish enemies kind of show up. But then again, it's all kind of the same. So it's all the same mechanic, which I don't know. There's pluses and minuses. Like they made a good game out of like basically one mechanic. You have this vacuum and it can shoot a light to like stun enemies, and it can vacuum or blow. Like that's kind of cool. Like from a, I don't know, game design perspective, it's just one thing. It's just one tool you have to use, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but it's good. It's repetitive, but it's good. So you just kind of go through. It's pretty exciting for the kids, cause they can kind of put together like, oh, maybe if you shoot that thing, a little gem will come out or something, you know? So, I think they did a good job. So we're going to hopefully finish it. So
yeah, I'll probably return to it probably this October. I'll put it on the calendar.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Spooktember. Spooktober.
Spooktober.
And that's it. I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out 2021 game plans. I don't know if y'all know, Xbox did kind of a switcheroo. So you're supposed to cancel your Xbox Gold. They want you to do that. They raise the price of Xbox Gold. And it's the cost of Xbox Game Pass, basically, which comes with Xbox Gold. So they're trying to migrate you over to that. And so I'll probably just do that. I'll give in. I think I have Xbox Ultimate for PC right now, which I'm not utilizing, but maybe I'll just put it on my Xbox. And I don't know, I'll play the Halo or the Mass Effect or something. So I don't know.
That pass should get you on the PC as well, right?
Yeah. There's like Game Pass plus PC, Game Pass Xbox, and Game Pass Ultimate or something. So
yeah, I think Ultimate does them both, right? It should be PC and Xbox together.
God. PC and Xbox. So.
I'm starting to wonder if there's somebody up in Redmond that's like, how can I complicate the naming conventions of everything we own?
Dude.
It's like they can't help themselves. I should be careful. But
I like Microsoft. They just do a bunch of weird stuff. Anyways.
No, the naming, it's really opaque to consumers, you know, and they're trying to offer price points, you know, but it's really opaque to people who are like, I want to play video games on my Windows. Oh, you need Xbox Home, but maybe I'll do coding and I need WSL. Oh, you need Xbox Professional. Okay. Can I make my home professional? Oh God, no.
That's totally different. You need to buy a brand new license.
Yeah. And so, and then you're like, okay, but my work requires some server. That's enterprise, you know? And you're like, ugh, like, so I don't know. But anyway, I'm trying to, I'll probably sign up for that, see what games are on it, and give one a college try. Cause I'm going to move my office from our spare bedroomy thing we have here, and then over into this new shed I'm building. But that'll change my gaming, cause I won't like just be able to run out or hop on my PC every single night, you know? So I don't know, maybe I'm going to do COD on Xbox and I'll get the free auto aiming. So maybe that's my future, you know? So I'll get the auto aim.
Don't be like them.
Dude, it's free headshots, dude. Maybe it's the way to go. Controller. So. All right. That's all I got. Who's, Jan, you go.
Okay, I can go. Well, I mean, like we mentioned earlier, it's just like the love of games. But Steam just came out with their recent game festival, which is basically them throwing up on their homepage like hundreds of demos to play.
All right.
And some of them, I mean, there's a lot of good ones. And I mean, I just went through it and looked at any like certain genres I like. So I found I'm a fan of roguelite. I like those games. So I found a few. I found one. One game was called Orbital Bullet. And
okay,
this game is when you install it, when I installed it and I started playing, it kind of like feels like I'm playing an arcade game. Like there's like music riffing, and it's really loud. And I didn't have my controller connected at the time, but you use the WASD, right? But then you also shoot with like you don't use a mouse, so the other hand is on like J and K. So it felt pretty cool. That part felt pretty cool. Just playing this game, but the premise of this game is like you're in the presentation is probably what is the carrot of this game is that you're running around in a 360 world, and it's really fast paced, and it's beautifully done in my opinion. It kind of looks like 32-bit art of some sort, and it just feels like you're just running around shooting in a circle,
Metal Slug vibes, yeah. Sort of, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Contra, but in a circle.
And you, there's certain, like, the demo's limited. Like, you only get to fight one boss, but but you get to try a few guns. There was a shotgun and throughout each run, you get to upgrade your weapons. So that's the roguelike part of it. It's like, after each run, you get to upgrade your weapons. And the guns that I like so far are the shotgun and there's a sniper. And the sniper visually is kind of cool because what it is like your aim goes all around the whole map. Oh,
the whole map.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. There's like a satisfying, like you can, like there's an enemy on the other side. You can just like, you just watch him die from like just shooting, just all the bullet just goes totally around 360. Right. So with the little time that I was in this game, I mean, you could probably play the demo for like an hour and get a lot out of it, but it stops you after the last boss. And I really like it. I really don't know what the end game is. Like, I mean, if you're just going through like 10 of these levels or 10 of these stages doing the same thing, I think it can get repetitive that way, but I think it's just the act of just powering up and just, you know, taking out the main boss. It was pretty satisfying. So another game that I was going through, through the whole list is called Loop Hero. And I think y'all would dig this game because, first of all, it's by Devolver. Like, okay. They are the, Devolver already game. Right?
Here we go.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So whenever you, so usually when you get a game from Devolver, it's usually kind of, it's different and weird. And this game is exactly that. It's different and weird, but Loop Hero is a game where you're a dungeon master. It's a Dungeons and Dragons game where you're the dungeon master and they call it Loop Hero because you're going to be running around, fighting monsters. But while you're fighting these monsters, you're collecting tiles. You're collecting in each one of these tiles would have like something, right? You'll either get a tile for like a spider cocoon. That's for one example. And then you place it in your lap. So you gotta like visualize like almost like a track that goes in a complete circle.
Okay.
And then, so every time you loop around, you'll see random monsters, but you're not fighting these monsters. It's like an auto battle thing, but what makes it cool is that like loot will drop from them when after you fight them, so like a sword or a shield. And then so while you're fighting and while you're going through this loop, you you equip these things. So if you have like a sword that gives you like a plus five, you know, like energy or whatever, it'll do that fight automatically. And if your defense is low, then maybe you need a better shield, you know, so forth. But that's what I like tile-based games, and this was really fun because it's almost like you're creating your own adventure. So while you're going through all these loops, while you're going through the loop, you'll also pick up things like a rock or a metal, like, you know, like some sort of tree. But that's whenever you pass through these areas through your loop, you gather resources, because the main part of the story is that you're trying to rebuild this town or this city that nobody remembers anything. Everybody has amnesia. So throughout this whole like trying to gather materials and all that stuff, trying to rebuild this town, you rebuild the first thing I built was a kitchen. I rebuilt the kitchen so that every time I need like to get some food in my bag or whatever, I have like that for energy, right? Okay. So yeah. So that was the first thing I built. But there's also in this, like, there's this map that you look at, and you can also build like a blacksmith or a gymnasium, I guess you can work out. But it's, to me, this is kind of fun because you're being your own dungeon master, and you're just building your own route. So you can make it as challenging as you want, or you can make it, or you can do like I did accidentally, and I dropped a big tile that was like a boss and I ran into him. He totally wiped me. So if you get killed during your loop, you don't get to keep any of the stuff that you collected, your resources, your materials, all that stuff. But if you loop around and survive it, you can stop it, and then you can collect your, and that means you bank your stuff and you get to use it again to move on with the story. So I really like this game because the aesthetics is like real 8-bitty. It looks like an 8-bit game. And the fun is not fighting the monsters, but it's just gathering, you know, stuff to like buff you up.
Mm. Yeah, it has kind of it reminds me a little bit of something in between like very old Ultima and, I don't know if you ever played Hand of Fate,
mm-hmm.
which also has kind of like the structure where each run you do, there are it's a deck of cards that gets pulled. And so each time the deck, you can kind of like try to stack the deck to make it easier or harder. But basically, each card represents a tile on a path you're taking, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you're playing against the deck builder. And so he's drawing the cards at random and setting them down. Sometimes you get like a randomized choice, but all sorts of things that happen, like could be a random fight, could be a boss, could be a vendor sitting in the road. So you can, you know, upgrade your gear and stuff like that, but has that similar feeling of like you're progressing and hoping to like beat the entire deck. And that's how you beat the person who's holding the cards.
Yeah. So, I didn't hit the wall of the demo, but I started noticing that the things that you can build in the town are locked, so I guess
when's this come out? Is it like available now for total purchase, or is it coming soon? Or?
It's coming soon. I don't know I think the date was spring of 2021, but all the demos, like most of the demos are going to be available until February 17th. So I'll add to the show notes some of these links or some of the games that I checked out and that I recommend. Another game is Tunchi. I hope I'm saying that right. But okay. But it remind the game is hand drawn. It's beautiful. It's very cartoony. It looks like it has a really good story. You're like trying to save the Amazon. One of the playable characters is one of the characters from A Hat in Time. So I thought that was kind of cool, like a little crossover. And that game is it's kind of like a beat 'em up game, kind of like Streets of Rage 4 or Castle Crasher. And so each character has their own unique set of fighting skills and ultimates. And there is a roguelike element to it. And this game will actually, I want to mention this game because it's going to be available for the Switch as well. And I think this is going to be like a fun game to like have for a couch co-op because you're just running around beating up stuff. And I don't see too many like couch co-op roguelike games. So I have this on my calendar. This also is supposed to be released later this spring of 2021, but depending on the developers. But yeah, it's also available for a demo.
Nice. One of the games I kickstarted, Skatebird.
Yeah,
it's a Tony Hawk but with birds. They had a demo and I didn't grab it. I think it's already expired. And I was a little bitter because I was like, hey, I kickstarted this. I don't get a demo, but your Steam does. So whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just a needy little Kickstarter, I guess.
So. What does that guy think? Just send
people like... I guess it's either like send the link out and hope that it stays. I guess they could have just like kept it live. Maybe they're worried that people would pass the demo around before.
Yeah. Or just get tired of it probably or something like, you know, I don't know.
Maybe it's like, it sucks. Like Gabe asked him. He's like, oh, sure. We'll let you have it.
Yeah. Well, it's an exposure for them. It's a good call. We don't have stinking festivals or anything this year. So this is what you got. This is your PAX East or whatever. So
yeah, you can make your own PAX. Like that was the thing I was doing when I was going through all these betas. I was kind of like, well, at least I don't have to stand in line behind some non-deodorant wearing gamer, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Some smelly Sailor Moon.
Maybe that's something that we should offer on our Booth Tycoon. We offer deodorant, you know,
Booth Tycoon, dude. Yeah,
we get Axe Spray to trees. Sponsor us. Yeah,
like little car trees.
Oh yeah, the hanging.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you could upgrade to axe. You could upgrade to axe misters, like mosquito misters.
they just oscillate and waft.
Yeah, fan like those like cool off fans, like just spraying, spritzing. Oh boy.
Okay, so last game that's available from this Steam Game Festival. It's called Men of Islands. And I mentioned this game. I played this game at PAX last year, PAX South last year. And it's available to download and check out. What I like this game should be on y'all's radar because it just looks like a fun, like adventure game. And it's the artwork is kind of reminiscent of like Adventure Time. Mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder if it's the same artist, but the demo is available and I didn't play this version of the demo. I think when I played it was like probably early beta, so I'm sure it's a lot polished now. But it's a beautiful game and I think y'all should check it out. I'll also put this game on the show notes.
Link in the show notes. All right. Nice.
So all right. That was it for me. So yeah.
All right, man. I'll go with Zach. Do you want to recap?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already hit the bigs that I've been playing. The one exception is just going back and on the tune of like wrapping things up or whatever. Has just been Breath of the Wild. Finally, like carving my way through the last few little check marks on there, like I've been like kind of steadily putting time into it, and it's been such, it's another one of those games where it's like, it's felt like such a, I don't know, it's felt so familiar and approachable for some weird reason after like, I don't know, after playing a lot of like other open world adventure games, coming back to Hyrule, it was like a lot more fun and endearing. And it was the first, this, just like one little standout note that I'll talk about is I just finished the third guardian I took down was the bird. When I was in the bird area, I fell into this side quest kind of by accident of finding the five little baby birds who are singing, and they're like supposed to sing together. Mm-hmm. And so I went through that whole little miniature quest line of like, you know, getting the, preparing the food for the bird who's like slacking off or whatever, and then going and meeting them at the spot, and then noticing that the circle of stones was a puzzle, and that they are the key to the puzzle, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and having like unlocking the secret dungeon that's over there. And it was just like, it was the first time that I had like stumbled onto one of those paths in the game where like, you go back, like there was a reason to go back to the town. You start like looking around the town and finding stuff. And then it kind of like drew me into this other area that's nearby. And I don't know, it just like, there's just something about it that was like really solid. And I hope there's more of that left in the game, because like stuff like that is so cool to like to have the side quests do more than just like give me rupees or whatever. Like, I kind of don't care about stuff like that in the game. I like it when the game lets you, when you unwrap a part of the game, that it like shows you that there's a like another box, like another little puzzle to play with. And it wasn't like a very difficult puzzle or anything, but it was just like, it was kind of fun to have that moment of like, oh, okay, I did this fetch quest for you, but then you rewarded me with an auditory puzzle, and then I get to go like collect, you know, a shrine reward. So mm-hmm. I don't know, just recent good times in the land of Hyrule. So I got one beast left, and then it's going to be a Master Sword and Ganon time. Looking forward to closing it out.
Oh man, it's fun. You got the camel left, right?
I beat the camel, so I've got the elephant, camel, and the bird. So I don't actually know what the fourth beast is.
You'll find out on Death Mountain.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it though. So yeah, like everything else has just been kind of same stuff, mostly stuff with y'all, and then just like hanging out. And I'm glad Jan's got some good picks for indie stuff to look at. Like, most of the things that I've been looking at are games that I've been watching are still like in development, and feels like they're just going to be in development forever. So
yeah, hopefully. I read a Polygon or Verge article that's like top 20 games coming out in 2021 or whatever, and I just was like, I want none of these. Like,
sorry guys.
Maybe Mass Effect, I guess, you know, like that, like, which is an old remaster, you know. Yeah. And I just was like, I don't know, y'all, good luck. So good luck gaming industry. So
yeah, I'm sure there'll be something that like by the end of the summer, like, we'll, you know, something will have caught the imagination. But I don't know, I'm just like, I'm really digging the circuit right now. Like, I feel happy about it.
Nice. Yeah. Keep it easy. Gaming, keeping gaming easy.
So. That's right.
All right. Well, cool. I guess, yeah, we're kind of hitting time here. Anything else we need to mention or cover? We will be back, if not this month, next month. So stay tuned. Keep us in your podcatcher. Yeah. Anything else, y'all?
We're good.
That's it.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, follow us on Twitter, aside_quest, and good luck. Have fun.